We're going to call Nancy Levant now up in Michigan. I was already supposed to have her on like 10 minutes ago, and she's 2 hours ahead of my time zone, so she's probably waiting for my call. Time goes so incredibly fast that it's just incredible. Okay, so we're going to bring Nancy Levant on the show now, who's located up in Iron Mountain, Wisconsin. You're listening to The Light of Day. It's 9:16 p.m. here in the Pacific time zone.
Hello?
Hello, Nancy. This is Sheldon Day, host of The Light of Day.
Hi, Sheldon.
Hi. I've had UFO Bob on talking here. I haven't had a chance to read your bio yet, but I'll pull it up.
Okay.
Forgot to bring that up here. Let's see. Looking for your bio here. Your folks are listening to the... Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I thought I had her bio here right where I wanted it, but it's not. There it is. You're in Iron Mountain, Wisconsin, right?
Iron Mountain, Michigan.
Oh, Michigan. I've been saying Wisconsin. Nancy Levant, folks, is a nationally renowned government watchdog and prolific writer for the American Republic and Constitutional Governance. Having discovered Agenda 21 by accident on the Internet, Levant has been a steadfast researcher of transnational and political globalism movements and partnerships. She has brought her knowledge to the people in clear and understandable language with nearly 800 published articles and essays to date via 25-plus weekly internet news columns. Nancy is a lively radio personality hosting and appearing on weekly shows with Darren Weeks at First Amendment Radio in Lansing, Michigan, with Dr. Stan Monteith in Monterey Bay, California, The Michael Corbin Show in Denver, The Shu Bartholomew Show in Virginia, The Sam and Trish Britton Show in Missouri, and with Dr. Gianni Hayes and many other radio shows across the nation. Her book, The Cultural Devastation of American Women, is quite simply one of the most riveting books ever written for westernized people of all ages, all religions, and for all considering marriage. The Cultural Devastation of American Women is available at Amazon.com. BarnesandNoble.com, NewsWithViews.com, and most online book sites and stores. Levant's social essays, commentaries, and weekly columns are found at NewsWithViews.com, and I get plenty of those in my email inbox. Govern America, and her stuff is also found at GovernAmerica.com, International Forecaster, the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Advanced Bulletin, the Sierra Times, American Chronicle, The Federal Observer, The Anti-Communitarian League, Derry Brownfield's Common Sense Chronicle, The Klamath Bucket Brigade, American Exposé, Sweet Liberty with Jackie Petru, Virginia Land Rights Coalition, New Freedom Coalition, The Muck Rocker Report, Wrens.com, AaronRusso.com, The Raider News Network, and RenewAmerica.us with Alan Keyes, and many other national and international newspapers and websites. To schedule an engagement with Nancy, please send inquiries to nlevant@juno.com to order copies of The Cultural Devastation of American Women by Nancy. Go to newswithviews.com or to the books sections at amazon.com and barnesandnoble.com, or visit your local bookstore, folks. So anyway, that's the end of the bio. Welcome to the Light of Day show, Nancy.
Thank you so much. I am so glad to finally meet up with you.
How's your weather up there in Michigan tonight?
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's like in the 50s. It's in the mid-70s during the day. It's just perfection.
Yeah, we've been pretty hot here. It's typically right around 100 every day in our Sonora Desert.
Yeah, well, I guess that's global warming.
Yeah, what's the truth about global warming, Nancy?
Oh, the, Well, you want my opinion?
Sure.
I think the truth about global warming will ultimately result in population control and weather modification and such things as pertinent to the global missions.
I was on the phone with Darren Weeks about two or three nights ago. He was telling me the truth about Al Gore, how he has a $30,000 a month utility bill.
And a private jet.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Well, yeah, you know, it's all part of the dialectic. All part of the scam that has been perpetrated upon not only the American people, but the world's people.
Yeah, and you know what? My stepdaughter, she brings a video and a book home from school. She has to do a research project on Al Gore, and it's unfortunate she doesn't know the truth about that guy.
Well, you know, that's our great dilemma, is government watchdogs in this nation, because we have, you know, several generations of children who have been fed the globalism agenda, specifically Agenda 21's agenda. And so we're dealing with largely a population of senior people who actually understand what has happened in this country, but everyone else has basically lived amidst the educational strategies of the dialectic. And so, you know, breaking through this has become the challenge for all of us, because most of the people in the United States have lived with the miseducation, and they don't know any differently. They simply don't know any differently. And, you know, we, in telling the truth, even offering evidence and proof of the truth, you know, have become, you know, the radicals and the dissidents and, you know, the basically the criminal element.
Yeah, you know, I didn't wake up to the reality of Agenda 21 till about 2 years ago when I started listening to Chris Gerner shows. And I used to listen to Bill Cooper back in the mid-90s, and I did know that he was on the radio back then, but I never bothered to tune into his shows until 2 years ago.
Well, you know, let me talk to you about Chris Gerner. He is an extraordinary person. I was also very, very late in coming around to Agenda 21. I actually found Agenda 21 by accident on the Internet. It went kind of snooping around the actual document, being totally clueless to globalism, being totally clueless to anything. And eventually, when I started reading about Agenda 21 through basically government watchdogs, I eventually came around to Chris Gerner's website, which is AmericanExpose.com, and that website was, I can really honestly say, was responsible for my initial education. It is still an amazing, amazing website, and I can only hope that your listeners will go to AmericanExpose.com and simply read everything that's on it. If you want to try to get yourselves up to speed on what has actually happened, that is an extraordinarily important website.
Yes, I routinely read the quote on his website on shows of mine, the Defense Secretary William Cohen one on weather warfare.
Well, absolutely. I still go back to Chris's site weekly and look for things and to you know, beef up my own research and my own knowledge. It's simply an incredibly important website. People just have no idea what the information that has been amassed on that site. Not to mention that Dennis Hodges posts the local globalism news that I go to simply every day.
And that's posted. Yeah, that's posted on my homepage of my website as well.
I saw that today, and you know that's an incredibly important thing.
Yeah, they have very good news stories.
Absolutely, and you know there have been people, you know, in our movement who have who have not been happy with those posts because they say, well, he's posting the other side. Well, you know, if you don't know what the other side's doing, then you know, how do you know anything? They're incredibly important posts. And, you know, everyone needs to go to those posts every single day to see what is happening, because things are happening so rapidly now, every single day, particularly where legislation and new bills are concerned. It's on a daily basis that our rights are being etched right out of the picture through these legislation and these new bills. And, you know, we need to read these things. We have to know what's going on.
I agree. Does Darren still keep Gerner's site up to date? Because I thought he said he had ended doing updates on it.
He has not been doing updates on it, but it's on his list. He wants to keep it alive. And I literally thank God that you are posting Chris's radio shows. Because, in my opinion, Chris Gerner is one of the fathers of this movement to try to do something about what has happened. Chris was always straightforward with the facts and presenting them to the public. It has literally broken my heart that he has opted to go off the air, because he was brilliant. He was a brilliant, brilliant hero for us.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree, and he's number two on my list of the best talk show hosts ever that I've listened to on talk radio, with Bill Cooper being my number one all the time.
Yep, I cannot agree with you more. He was an extraordinary, extraordinary mentor to so many people, particularly to me.
Yeah, the last I talked to him about a month ago, he still says that he is not going to get back in this stuff. He's just worn out with it, so it's really unfortunate.
Well, I just think that he gave up on the American people. And, you know, I fight myself with this on a daily basis. I had practically a meltdown the other day, and I just thought, I'm not doing this anymore. It's, you know, I get nowhere, nothing's happening, the American people, you know, you go talk to any one of your neighbors about anything.
Yeah, what do they say? Oh, there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, they still, you know, if I bring up the topic of Agenda 21, if I bring up the topic of the North American Union, I would tell you that 99% of them still have not heard anything about it, because all these people do are sit on their butts and watch television.
I agree. We're at the bottom of the hour. I'm really enjoying this, Nancy. You want to stay tuned for about 3 or 4 minutes? I'll patch into the commercial music.
Sounds great.
Okay, folks, you're listening to The Light of Day, coming to you live from the Sonora Desert. It's 29 minutes after 9 p.m. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
This is Christine with BringemHome.org. Are you a parent disinclined to seeing your sons and daughters used as mortar bait for the New World Order? With no end in sight to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, along with the looming possibility of an escalation of conflict into Iran and Syria, we need to send a definitive message to the warmongering politicians. Bring our troops home now. We have Bring 'Em Home magnetic ribbons, which are available in any quantity. Like the upside-down flag, these ribbons are inverted to symbolize a state of distress. Place these ribbons on your cars and help us wake up the sleeping public. Don't wait until the military draft is implemented. Don't wait until it's too late. Get your ribbons now. Your Brigham Home ribbons can be purchased at rbnlive.com or at brighamhome.org or call 877-605-9200.
During the last 50 years, hundreds of thousands of military personnel have been involved in human experimentation and other intentional exposures conducted by the Department of Defense, often without a service member's knowledge or consent. That is the opening statement of Senate Report 103-97. The Atomic Vets, White Coat Vets, Vietnam Vets, Gulf War Vets, and now Gulf War II Vets, all used as unwitting subjects and exposed to chemicals, biologicals, radiation, experimental vaccinations, psychedelic drugs, depleted uranium, and more, and then denied treatment. Beyond Treason exposes these horrendous experiments and demands accountability. Beyond Treason comes with a CD-ROM that contains thousands of pages of documents to prove that our own government has been involved in what can only be described as activity that goes beyond treason. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or visit beyondtreason.com. Only $19.95 plus shipping for the DVD and the CD-ROM. Call 877-817-9829 and order today. What you will see goes beyond treason.
This is Anthony J. Hilter, and you're listening to The Light of Day. Sheldon, my friend, and your host who brings you this broadcast, like hundreds of other patriots around the country, aren't doing it for the money. It costs them money to buy this time. They do this freely. They want to save this country. Your family's freedom and our world. Sheldon and my friend Starr want you to know that 911 was an inside job. If you're beginning to believe that the World Trade Center attack was orchestrated by Osama bin Bush and the boys from the Brotherhood of Death rather than Osama bin Laden and some 19 Arabs, some of whom couldn't even drive a car, then you'll want to see and hear my film, 911, The Greatest Lie Ever Sold. By doing this, you'll get the rest of the story. Call Star at 661-323-0015. Between 10 and 10. So write it down. Call Star at 661-323-0015 for the rest of the story, the true story on 911.
Oh, they say she died one winter when there came a killing frost. And the pony she named Wildfire busted down its stall. In a blizzard he was lost. She ran calling Wildfire. She ran calling Wildfire.
Hello, folks. You're listening to The Light of Day, coming to you live from the Sonora Desert in Tucson, Arizona. We're on the phone right now with Nancy Levon up in Iron Mountain, Michigan. Are you still there, Nancy?
I'm here.
Yeah, hello. Welcome back to the broadcast. What were we talking about?
Well, we were just talking about the fact that so much has happened, largely due to the fact that the American people are still watching television, in spite of the fact that the country, as well as the rest of the world, is literally being overtaken by, well, in my opinion, very dynastic families under the guise of corporate powers combined with paramilitary powers all over the world. But, breaking through particularly to the American people has just been the most frustrating and difficult task. And, I point to Chris Gerner, who spent years and years and years and years trying and trying and trying and providing everything on a silver platter to the American people, to the point where Chris just said, I can't do this anymore. No, you know, nobody is willing to listen. No one's willing to read. Just read. And, you know, it is a highly, highly frustrating issue, particularly at this stage of the game, because we're losing.
I know.
We're literally losing everything, including with pots boiling on the burner right now to change independent radio, the rights of independent radio, and to change the freedoms that we experience through the Internet.
Yeah, did you know effective tomorrow, thousands of Internet broadcasters are going to cease to exist?
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, because these royalty rates they want to impose on broadcasters for playing commercially licensed music, they want to raise the fees as high as 600% for some of them.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
And Bill Gates, he's got the new Windows platform, the Vista, all set up so you cannot broadcast a live radio show over the Internet. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, so I'm fortunate enough to still have the Windows XP. I don't have the Vista.
Well, yeah, you know, hang on as long as... We're all hanging on as long as we can. We know what's coming. We know that we're going to be silenced. But, you know, we go for as long as we can. And it's not like you can't say we haven't tried.
Yeah, and it's a pleasure having a networking of friends like you and others to keep this movement going as much as we can. Networking is very critical, folks.
Absolutely. Yeah, really, forward your links. You know, I've heard a lot of people in our movement say, you know, don't even worry about the ones who just have the blank faces. I disagree with that, because without, particularly in this country, without 300 million of us on the same page, it's the only hope that we have. It's the only hope that we have. And so, you know, eventually, this is a long process to understand and to take in. It took me years to figure this one out.
Yeah, you know, over time, I heard about Agenda 21, but it wasn't until Chris Gerner shows that he really woke me up to the reality of Agenda 21.
Yeah, you know, I think anybody in my shoes will tell you that we're so sick of talking about this subject because, you know, the American people should have been screaming bloody murder about this subject for the last 15 years. But if you will allow me, let me go through and try to give a very quick version of what Agenda 21 means.
You've got the floor. Go ahead.
Okay. What is Agenda 21? What is it? All right. In a nutshell, Agenda 21 is a very comprehensive United Nations plan for the future of commoners in the 21st century. And it is a plan administered and implemented by what is called the UN Commission on Sustainable Development. Now, we have all heard about sustainable this and sustainable that. Everything that is, quote, sustainably driven in all of our communities now came straight out of the UN. Now, the United States of America adopted Agenda 21 as a national policy for the future of our country in 1992 through Herbert Walker Bush. Now, 1 year later, in 1993, and by executive order, then-President William Jefferson Clinton established what is called, through executive order, the President's Council on Sustainable Development. Now, once this council was established by executive order, every government department, every single one, was directed to establish Agenda 21's sustainable development missions and programs. Now, Agenda 21's missions and programs came out of the UN. Now, in America, we call Agenda 21 by different names. We call it smart growth, shaping our future, regional planning, new urbanism, sustainable development, on and on and on. Local 21, it's got a lot of different names. But no matter what the catchphrase is, what really represents is the centralized global planning and reshaping of the lives of all commoners on the planet, not the elitists, the commoners, us. It's global social engineering. But it's also a sham and a cover story for the real intentions of the global governors and the global systems, which, of course, have all been set up and are in play, which, as we know, are a very few and globally empowered dynastic families. You know, we're talking about all the central banking systems of the world. We're talking about the World Bank, the World Health Organization, the World Trade Organization, the international courts, on and on and on. Now, while the media spotlight is focused on the Security Council's debate about rebuilding Iraq and all this stuff, the rest of the UN bureaucracy lumbers along towards a very published goal, as in Agenda 21, of ruling the world. Now, the Commission on Sustainable Development concluded 2 weeks of meetings in New York on May 9th, and it was the 11th annual session of the UN body, and it created as a result of the 1992 UN Conference on Environment and Development in Rio de Janeiro. And the whole purpose of this commission was to implement the rule book for commoners called Agenda 21. Now, on that note, in order to really understand this document, I'm going to suggest to your readers that they do a computer search of a paper, an essay, and it is called Global Governance, Why, How, and When. It's in part one, and part two is by Henry Lamb.
You can find it
all over the internet. Again, it is called Global Governance, How, or Why, How, and When, by Henry Lamb, L-A-M-B.
Yeah, Nancy.
Yeah.
I read that during the first part of my show tonight, that article.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, you didn't get
Bless
to hear
heart.
It? Huh?
Okay, yeah, that's a very, very important beginning point to really understand Agenda 21, because the history of Agenda 21 began in earnest, really, with World War I and most certainly during World War II. Now, and as with all things American, one must look to the Rockefeller dynasty, which is a kind of the American equivalent to the Rothschild dynasty in Europe. The Rockefellers set up and funded the Trilateral Commission in 1973. They also set up and funded the Council on Foreign Relations in 1921. Now, the global strategy of the Trilateral Commission and its founders, specifically Rockefeller and Brzezinski, Brzezinski in particular, provided the intellectual reasoning and the political strategy for what they coined as the new international economic order. Now, in order to understand Agenda 21, your listeners have to understand what globalization is. Globalization really is, it's the collective effort of very purposeful manipulation that seeks to centralize economic, political, technological, and societal forces in order to accrue maximum profit and political power to global banks, global corporations, and the elitists who run them. Globalization promotes regional and global government, a one-world economic system of trade, and a form of fascism where global corporations and their elite control the policies and the directives of individual governments. Now, but where did it come from? Where did globalization come from? Now, through the Trilateral Commission and the new international economic order, this basically started in 1973. Now, through the Trilateral Commission. Now, this purpose was stated repeatedly in the papers of the Trilateral Commissions, their journals, their conferences. And then in 1991, Herbert Walker Bush, who was a member of the Trilateral Commission, began really to openly talk about the quote-unquote New World Order, which he expanded to include the concept of governance as well as economic unity. The global elite, through the direct operations of President Bush and his administration, are now creating a North American Union that, as we know, combines Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. into a super state called the North American Union. Now, a gentleman by the name of Richard Gardner, who was an original member of the Trilateral Commission, and one of the very prominent architects of what was called the New International Economic Order, in 1974, he wrote an article. It was called The Hard Road to World Order, which appeared in the Foreign Affairs magazine, which is published by the Council on Foreign Relations. And in this article that Gardner wrote, he said, and I'm going to read you a quote, he said, in short, the House of World Order would have to be built from the bottom up rather than from the top down. It will look like a great booming, buzzing confusion, to use William James' famous description of reality, but an end run around national sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece, will accomplish much more than the old-fashioned frontal assault, unquote. Now, in his view, using treaties and trade agreements like the General Agreement on Trade and Affairs, we know that as the GATT agreement, would bind and supersede constitutional law piece by piece, which is exactly what has happened. And in addition, Mr. Gardner, original Trilateral Commission, he highly esteemed the role of the United Nations as a third-party legal body that could be used to erode the national sovereignty of individual nations. Now, it should be noted that the formation of the Trilateral Commission by Rockefeller and Brzezinski was initially a response to a general frustration that globalism was going nowhere prior to 1973. Now, of course, we know that globalism has, ruling the world has always been a goal of many governments throughout all of history. But the frontal assault, particularly in the 20th century, had failed when, they tried to get the UN up and running after World War II, but it failed. And so a new approach was needed. And it is a typical mindset, I think, of the global elite to view any roadblock to their plans as an opportunity to kind of stage an end-run game to get around it. Now, Gardner actually confirmed this frustration in another quote that I have for you when he said, quote, certainly the gap has never loomed larger between the objectives and the capacities of the international organizations that were supposed to get mankind on the road to world order. He says, we are witnessing an outbreak of short-sighted nationalism that seems oblivious to the economic, political, and moral implications of interdependence. And I continue, quote, yet never has there been such widespread recognition by the world's intellectual leadership of the necessity for cooperation and planning on a truly global basis beyond country, beyond region, especially beyond social system, unquote. So, we now realize that the early to mid-1970s really witnessed the results and the national turnaround toward this unabated global missions, and particularly in the executive branch, that had, by the mid-70s, had literally been overtaken by Trilateral Commission and Council on Foreign Relations members. It's still, to this day, they hold the highest positions of power in this country. And at the exact same time, the blueprints, in the early 70s, the blueprints for Agenda 21 began assembling in several global organizations. Now, Agenda 21, as we said before, is a program that is run and is administered by the United Nations, and it is related to what is called sustainable development. It's a comprehensive plan of action that is to be taken globally, nationally, locally, in our little villages and our little towns, by organizations of the United States, by national governments, and by major groups in every area in which humans have an impact on, quote-unquote, the environment. And, of course, the 21 in Agenda 21 refers to the 21st century. Now, the full text, the full document of Agenda 21 was revealed at the 1992 United Nations Conference on Environment and Development. It was called the Earth Summit, and it was held in Rio de Janeiro, June 14th, 1992, where 179 governments voted to adopt the program. Now, what's interesting about that number, 179 governments, is that at that time, those were the number of nations who were member nations of the United Nations, and of course, we were one of them. So we also, in 1992, agreed to adopt all programs of Agenda 21 and implant them into the United States. So then, you know, after that, you know, there were many other issues and meetings and assembly meetings and commission meetings and summits between, you know, there was 1997, there was the Johannesburg summit in 2002, and what we still have is this Commission on Sustainable Development, administered through the UN, which acts as this high-level forum on sustainable development and has acted as a preparatory committee for all the summits and the sessions and the implementation of Agenda 21 throughout 179 member nations of the UN. So, in my opinion, what I can tell you is while all the Mideastern wars wage on and on and on and distract the world's people from Agenda 21 and the world's policing efforts of the United Nations, Agenda 21, in my opinion, has been all but silently implanted into all member nations of the United Nations. It's my opinion that the nonstop wars are, in fact, the veil to hide the implementation of the one world government and its global leaders as the monarchy over the world government, which and this world government is actually a combination of corporate slash economic slash paramilitary powers. Agenda 21 is, in fact, it's the new rule book for all life under their military rule.
It's also one of the biggest secrets being withheld from the American public, because me and Gerner were on the phone one day, and he said this, and how many influential talk show hosts out there are covering this subject?
Nobody. No one ever has. It's absolutely still in the shadows. You know, in fact, Agenda 21 is intellectualized and professionalized communism, which is in fact accomplished by, I believe that it's going to be accomplished by high technology forces, including but not limited to psychotronic warfare technologies, weather modification technologies, sustainable sickness through pharmaceutical mass drugging and poisoning, through biometric and nanotechnological human control technologies, all of which we know for a fact have been invented, they've been installed, and they're ready to enforce Agenda 21's rulebook upon the world's masses.
Hey, Nancy.
And all of which the government watchdogs have been steadfastly screaming about for coming up on three decades. It's really astounding, because it's like I said, you go walk up and down your street and talk to your neighbors about Agenda 21, and they're clueless.
Well, my neighborhood's all Hispanic, so I can't even talk to my neighbors.
Oh, yeah, you live in Tucson, right?
Yeah.
Yep, I'm sure you can't. Well, you know, multiculturalism, right?
Right. Hey, when it comes to the topic of weather modification, what is your opinion about what what they're doing on these shuttle flights when they put these solar panels on the space station. You think that's being utilized in weather modification?
Well, of course it is. I think that one of the things, again, that the American people don't realize specifically is that one of the, it may be the very top priority of One World Governance and Agenda 21 is global and massive, massive depopulation. That is that's the big one. There are too many of us commoners. There are very, very few of these global and dynastic families. We present a problem to their sustainability, to their personal sustainability. When people consider that DNA is now forced, mandated to be collected, and you can well assume, as well as all of the other profiling that has occurred with the American people specifically over the last 10 to 20 years, you know, we have to assume that there is a reason for this extreme interest in us, even to our molecular levels. Well, when depopulation has been mandated, once again, and particularly by Rockefeller money and Rockefeller missions, we can assume, we can very well assume, that depopulation is a very, very serious intention. I think that the weather modification has a twofold purpose. Number one, it gets rid of a whole lot of people at once, particularly in third world countries that cause problems to the economics of globalization. How many people got wiped out in the massive, massive earthquakes in China in 1978? How many in the tsunami in Indonesia? How many in Katrina? I believe that it is absolutely for certain that hurricanes and number one can be dragged and can be directed. I think that we're experiencing all of these forest fires in the United States, all over the place. Well, it's not real hard. If you can manipulate no rain and you can manipulate lightning in the sky, it's not too hard to start forest fires. Now, what happens when all of these quote-unquote natural catastrophes strike is, number one, massive, massive, massive acreages of land get cleared, and then you have the quote-unquote environmental groups coming in and locking down these land masses. At the same time, you also witness the collection of millions, 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 millions of acres through the Biosphere Reserve programs, and then the circling of the biosphere acreages by the conservation corridors, and then the recircling of the conservation corridors by what are called buffer zones, which are actually demilitarized zones.
Hey, Nancy, we're at the top of the hour. You want to stay tuned? I'm really enjoying this. We've got about a three-minute break here.
Let's do it.
Okay, Nancy, thank you. You're listening to The Light of Day, folks, on the Edge Broadcasting Network. We're live Saturday night, 9:59 p.m. here in the Pacific time zone. We'll return. Stay tuned. This is Sheldon Day, host of The Light of Day. Tune in to The Light of Day Show to hear about ongoing telepathic contact by benevolent extraterrestrials as experienced by UFO Bob.
learn what the government doesn't want you to know about benevolent extraterrestrials that far outnumber the negative visitors, and how they're helping us from annihilation so we can transcend to fourth density.
My name is Bob Keen, and better known as UFO Bob. I'm taken on board ship when I was quite young. We'll be about to give you conclusive proof that UFOs are here, they're real, they're listening to this. Now, we've got pictures that would absolutely blow you away. Now, you will never have experience. I'll be talking about things you never hear about. Even on some of your best talk shows, they aren't telling you the whole story behind the UFO thing.
Learn about the negative extraterrestrials' control over world governments and their plans to downsize world populations, and what you can do to survive into life on the new Earth higher energy density.
September 11th, 2001 changed the world, and the world is now realizing that the official story of that infamous day just doesn't make sense. The overwhelming majority of Americans believe that there is a government cover-up, according to a CNN poll. 9/11 in plain sight. The director's cut is a compilation of unaltered news footage and photos from major networks and publications that raises questions that officials dare not ask, let alone answer. The worldwide firestorm of questions raised has forced some into a position of desperation damage control to keep this documentary from being seen or accepted by the masses. Why have these efforts been made to keep you from seeing this documentary and simply asking common sense questions? Find out. You must see 9/11 in plain sight, the director's cut, and share it with as many people as possible. Call 877-817-9829 to order your copy. That's 877-817-9829. Unless these questions are answered honestly, the world could be plunged into a third world war. Stop this madness. Call 877-817-9829 today and order your copy of 9/11 in plain sight, the director's cut.
Young, we're getting old before our time. We'll leave the TV and the radio behind. Don't you wonder what we'll find? Stamp it out tonight.
Hello, folks. This, you're listening to The Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on the Edge Network. It's 3 minutes after 10 o'clock here in the Pacific time zone. I wanted to read a quick quote here before we bring Nancy back on. This is by former Defense Secretary William S. Cohen at a Department of Defense news briefing Monday, April 28, 1997. He goes on to say in his quote, "Others are engaging even in an eco-type of terrorism whereby they can alter the climate, folks, set off earthquakes and volcanoes remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves. So there are plenty of ingenious minds out there that are at work finding ways in which they can wreak terror upon other nations. It's real, and that's the reason why we have to intensify our counter-terrorism efforts, and that's why this is so important," end quote. And again, that's by former Defense Secretary William Cohen, 1997, stating that others can alter the climate. And I'm sure we people that are in this movement that know what's going on knows exactly what that means. Now, I also have an article here by, it was off the internet. Did you folks know that Bill Gates has $24 billion of his own money to give away? A lot of this money is going to go toward the development of new vaccines, which the UN World Health Organization will administer by injections of the world's poor. So vaccinations are just another methodology being employed to depopulate the planet. Anyway, are you still on the line, Nancy?
Right, still here.
Yeah, well, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Nice to have you on board.
Thank you. I'm just so glad that we finally got to meet.
Yeah, finally. You know, I had sent you a lot of emails about a month or two ago, but they always bounce back to me.
Well, that I don't really understand. That shouldn't have happened. But, you know, this stuff happens to me all the time as well, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, in fact, Chris Gerner and I had interruptions in our emails back and forth as well, for the record.
Yeah, you know, I send Chris a lot of emails all the time, and he never replies to any of them. I don't even know if he's getting them.
I suggest to you that he's not, because he actually contacted Darren Weeks. I had always sent my newest articles to Chris, and he wrote to Darren and said, I'm not receiving them. And I've always sent my articles to him. And so there was an interruption. Now, I recently have been able to reestablish email contact with Chris. But, you know, this goes with the territory. You know, we're the type of people that, you know, they're upset about. You know, truth hurts them. And this is why they're trying to shut us up.
Have you seen Scott Stevens' Weather Wars website lately? It's all in an indecipherable language.
Yes, I have seen Weather Wars. It's absolutely wonderful.
Have you seen it lately, though, because you can't really read anything on the website?
Oh, no, I have not seen it lately.
Yeah, you go on there and there's a bunch of indecipherable coding all over the page, like somebody's goofing around with his website.
Well, do tell, and you know, we all know that we're facing the same thing.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's coming. Our days of being able to communicate with the public are limited, and we know this. You know, so you know, we do the best we can as quickly as we can.
Yeah, that's right.
But you know, weather modification is real. It has been legislated. It has been identified as a military weapon. And I think that we should take that at face value. It is an absolutely despicable science. I am sure that it has been very well funded through, you know, probably the likes of the Rockefeller Foundation and all of these other big foundations that are deeply, deeply committed to globalization and deeply committed to removing the rights of people. But specifically to depopulating the common man. I mean, you know, even in there were reports coming out of the Rockefeller Foundation and agencies funded by the Rockefeller Foundation in the 1950s that were calling for national security reasons, massive depopulation specifically of third world countries. But I think that through Agenda 21... I think specifically Chapter 6, if anyone is actually interested in reading that most amazing document, will find that there is something called sustainable medicine, which I believe is the first time that term was coined in history and through Agenda 21, which actually talks about, you know, limiting treatment for sicknesses. We know for a fact that vaccines, enforced vaccines, have caused tremendous illness, and newfangled illness all over the globe. Autism, probably Alzheimer's disease is my guess, and numerous other things through the mercury lacing and poisoning of human beings. You know, depopulation is a primary mission of globalization. It is a primary mission of Agenda 21, because Agenda 21 is all dolled up in environmental sustainability. And, of course, if you want the environment to be sustainable, according to them, where they need to get rid of about three-fourths of the human population on the planet. And so, you know, all of these technologies that we are now dealing with, whether it be weather modification or the psychotronic weaponry, you know, the HAARP system up in Alaska, these all deal with, it's not environmental issues. It is, in my opinion, depopulation issues, ultimately.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. I'm against vaccinations. My 2-year-old boy never had any yet, and I've noticed how incredibly smart he is compared to his 4-year-old brother already.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Yeah, I know a whole lot of people who do not vaccinate their children anymore, but sadly, we have these foolish parents, and I'm sorry, but particularly foolish mothers who, you know, literally run to the pediatricians, you know, every time that vaccine date comes around.
Yeah, they are fools, period.
Well, they are fools, and, you know, I mean, this is personal to me. I have a nephew who has 2 children, both of which severe autism, lifelong debilitating autism, and they shouldn't have been that way.
Yeah, you know, now you know my 4-year-old boy, the older one I have, he got the only shot when he was first born, the hepatitis B, and he's already showing signs of this attention deficit symptoms.
Oh, ADD.
Yeah.
Yeah, another designer illness. Yes, another designer illness. Well, and, you know, we have, you know, in my opinion, you know, we've got all of these potential crises that we have all been, you know, sitting here trembling in fear, as, of course, we were supposed to be. But we've got, you know, this looming economic crash. We have this pandemic that they have been shoving down our throats for about 5, 6, 7 years, this global pandemic. Not to mention all of the terrorism and the nuclear and the radiological and the biochemical and blah, 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 all of these potential crises. The one that really hits it with me, really hits home with me, knowing the history of the use of poisonings throughout human history as a very, very effective tool for the management, the control, and the destruction of people, I worry mostly about the pandemic. We know that super viruses are manufactured. They're now manufactured all over the world. We know the profits that are made through quote-unquote vaccines to supposedly counteract pandemic. Or, you know, or just flus. You know, every year we're all supposed to run and get a flu shot now. Every year. There's a new, you know, slightly tweaked, slightly changed flu virus. And so we all got to run. Particularly, they want our elders to run and get this flu shot. And, you know, I worry tremendously about the potential damage and the potential depopulation accomplishments through pandemic.
You struck a chord there with me, because I know that they've passed the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act in like over 3/4 of the country, and where I'm from in Wisconsin, they snuck it into their budget bill 2 or 3 years ago to get it passed there. So there is some pandemic planned, I believe.
Oh, I absolutely do believe. And you know, one of the most fascinating aspects of the State Model Emergency Health Powers Act is that one of the powers of that act allows for, catch this, the confiscation of private property. So, let's say that you get sick with the flu, and boom, you got to be quarantined. You got to go to a camp, right? You got to be quarantined. And while you're there, dying of your super virus, the states now have the authority to come and take away your private property. Do tell. You know, that is an amazing, amazing piece of legislation. Everyone should read about the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, because I actually think that about 90 or 95% of states have now adopted that sample act in one form or another in their states.
Yeah, did you know in the first version of that act they had a had it set up so they can confiscate people's firearms in the first version?
Well, yeah, you know, I know that Darren Weeks and I have talked about this And Darren thinks that the only reason that things have not gone faster than planned, or that the globalization hasn't, you know, furthered its accomplishments quicker, is because they still, you know, the politicians in the United States don't have the nerve to even try to disarm this country. They don't have the nerve. They know better than to even try. So, of course, they're trying to get this resolved and accomplished through international law, through the UN. You know, international law trumps national law, right? And so they're trying to get, and the UN has been steadfastly, you know, actually, let me see if I can find this real quick. One of the UN's initial purposes was disarmament. Now, let me see if I can just find this for you really quickly, because I think I can. Well, maybe not. Here it is. Here it is. Let me read this to your audience. Okay. The stated purpose of the United Nations is to achieve disarmament. And I quote, "Disarmament is a critical element of the United Nations strategy for peace and security." Quote, the United States program for general and complete disarmament in a peaceful world was presented by President Kennedy to an 18-nation disarmament conference in Geneva, Switzerland on April the 18th in 1962. So that tells you that this whole thing, you know, when you look at the UN, and when you think of the UN, we think of humanitarianism and peacekeeping and disaster relief. Now, of course, sustainable development and Kyoto and the Kyoto treaties and its offshoots. But the stated purpose of the UN was to achieve disarmament, international disarmament. Now, here, let me turn this around. Okay, we have manufactured superviruses. We know that we have some type of a looming global pandemic, right? We know that we have stock markets that are poised and have been very strategically poised to have the plug pulled. We have weather modification. We have hurricanes that can be dragged, so on and so forth. Now, we also have, to date, even though it's been wildly eroded, we have the Second Amendment. But however, people, think about this. What are your shotguns going to do for you when a supervirus hits your community? What are they going to do for you if there is some type of quote-unquote natural weather, fire, anomaly that strikes your neighborhood, such as in Katrina? Well, we know that they immediately started confiscating firearms when Katrina hit, you know, blaming the human behavior on the collection of the firearms. But nonetheless, what do you think those weapons are going to do? What do you think they're going to do when you have systems, when you have psychotronic war systems set up in satellites? What do you think your shotguns are going to do for you?
Oh, you struck another chord there. I have a friend that sends me emails regularly here in Arizona, and he doesn't want his name on a list. He doesn't want to be publicly known. What do you think about these people that don't want to be on a list or their name known?
I think they're cowards. That's what I think.
Yeah, that's what I think, too.
You know what? We're going to lose this battle. You know that, and I know that. We're going to lose it. Because the world's people, they just can't seem to absorb this. That's all I can say. And they're going to let, you know, 10,000 people in the world walk away with the world and the control of the world. And, you know, whatever. But you know what? My children and my grandchildren, who are going to live in this nightmare, I want them to know that I was not a coward. I want them to know that I tried to preserve their freedoms, that I tried to preserve their world, their natural world, their real natural world. You know, but I pray that eventually, you know, the environmental movement is heartbreaking in a lot of ways because it's full of young people who have been brutally miseducated and manipulated, and they joined this movement because they wanted to help nature, by gum. That's what they've been told. Nature is dying, and it's a horrible thing. Animals are dying. Plants are dying. Species are dying. And they jumped on this bandwagon in their ignorance because they wanted to do something. They wanted to help. I feel sorry for them. But at this stage of the game, there is too much information out there, and they should have looked, they should have read, they should have understood the manipulation. You know, nature is not dying.
Hey, Nancy, what do you think about all these disappearing honeybees? I had a lady on my show 2 or 3 weeks ago out of Colorado. She thinks it's Project HAARP. What do you think?
Well, you know, that's interesting. I've heard a couple of different things. Now, one thing that immediately strikes me is the chemtrailing. What are they spraying? We don't know. That concerns me a great deal.
Oh, she did mention that also, the pesticide spraying is what she called it.
Well, something, whatever, you know, depleted uranium. God knows what they're spraying out of those plants. But another thing that I recently read, actually in a book for, in the young adult section from a library, is that in the very near future, there would be no more outdoor farming, and that all farming would be done indoors through the advancements of genetics, the genetic sciences, and that it could be done in a very different way, and that nature didn't have to be disturbed by farms anymore.
I've heard a remote viewer on Art Bell's show by the name of Ed Dames back in the mid-90s. He stated that someday in the future the winds are going to become so horrific on the surface that we're all going to be forced to go and live underground. What do you think about that?
Well, that I don't know. I'm not sure.
Did you know they're building a new spaceport in New Mexico, which is underground? It's near Truth or Consequences in New Mexico?
No, that I did not know about.
And they're publicly stating it, too, that they're building it underground there.
Well, I certainly do know that all of the continuity of government plans to save the asses of the quote-unquote leadership of nations all over the world definitely protect those people in underground shelters. So, you know, I think that you can reasonably say that whatever is going to happen is going to happen on the surface of the planet.
I would call it a dictatorship. That's what I believe we have.
No, I think it is, too. I think it's a criminal dictatorship. Now, the other possibility for bees, of course, is the microwaves that are bombarding the Earth, the electromagnetic pulsing that is absolutely for certain going on in the sky, because I've seen it myself. And I recently heard, someone actually called me yesterday and had read something about the bee issue, saying that the bees, due to the electromagnetic pulsing and the microwaves that are now bombarding the planet, have actually made bees nuts and confused, and it has simply made them incapable of being bees. Now, you know, something is definitely happening. Well, you can remember, don't you remember maybe 20 years ago when it came out that, like, frogs were disappearing and frogs were sick?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. That was like in the mid or late 90s.
Right. Now, another interesting thing that is local to me was that up here, there was some type of a program going on where out of airplanes, they were dropping, quote-unquote, little biscuits out of airplanes for the wild animals. And supposedly, these contained, quote-unquote, vaccines for rabies. Well, That sounds like the fluoride in water for teeth scam to me. You know, we have the mad cow disease, which has filtered into a similar disease for the deer populations up here. Some type of a horrible, horrible disease with symptoms much like that of mad cow disease hitting the deer populations up here. And so, you know, once again, and this is what is so sad to me about the environmental movement. You know, these poor people have been manipulated into thinking that nature can be micromanaged and should be micromanaged. But the problem is, that's not what's happening. Land is being taken away from people. We're not allowed to be on the land anymore. Agenda 21 calls for the movement of national populations into very specific spots. The Wildlands Project actually says that we have to be moved into human-based island areas, meaning squeezed into these tiny, tiny areas. But why? Why, you know, do the global elite want all the land masses? Well, you know, and I know, that they want them for the natural resource wealth. They want it for the wealth. They want it for the mineral wealth. Up here in Michigan, they certainly want it for the mineral wealth, because we're loaded with uranium up here and copper, and they also want it for the forests. You know, when you look at the biosphere reserves in the United States, you're looking at the largest forested areas in the United States, equally and in Canada, and also desert areas where, you know, you're talking about mineral areas, mineral and water also. You know, the Great Lakes have been locked down up here through something called the Council of Great Lakes Governors. You know, it's a regional governing body. We don't even know who these people are, but they're making all the decisions now about the Great Lakes. Another interesting thing up here is Lake Superior. Lake Superior, one of the largest bodies of fresh water on the planet, and its levels keep dropping and dropping massively every year. Gosh, we don't know why. It must be global warming. No, it's not global warming. They're pumping out that water. They're farming it out to other countries. And these water corporations are making billions off of selling the primary watershed system in the United States. It's, you know, globalization is about money. It's about economics. It's about making corporations richer. That's what it's about. And the families who run these organizations. It's about dynasties.
And to sum up in the environmental thing, Darren Weeks said it quite clearly to me two nights ago. He says the environmental extremism is just propaganda.
Well, it is propaganda. And see, that's what Agenda 21 is all about. Agenda 21 is about sustainable Earth. And they said, it says to the common man, not to the elites, but to the common man, you can't have your houses with your central air and your central heat. You can't drive your cars, because it's bad for the planet. You know, you can't do this and you can't do that. Therefore, you have to live the way we say that you need to live so that the Earth is sustainable. Well, this is garbage. This is absolutely garbage. Agenda 21 is about depopulation, and it is about empowering corporate fascists. When you combine corporations, the power of corporations and the money of corporations and governing bodies, you create fascism. That's what fascism is. And what this fascist system of corporate governance has done is also to raise and implant these new paramilitary systems all over the world. Now, the American military has been gone from American soil for 100 years. They're off. They're off in this country. They're off in that country. It just depends on what decade it is. But they're not here, and they're not coming back. This is an undefended nation. What has been raised in its place are all of these paramilitary systems. We, you know, paramilitary systems like the Department of Homeland Security and FEMA, which are now co-joined. And you have these private armies for hire, you know, Blackwater, so on and so forth. And it, what we're talking about is it's not an issue of terrorism. It is an issue of what's going to happen when Agenda 21 and the way we are to live our lives, it comes into play. What are the American people going to do? Well, the American people are not going to be very happy. It's about civilian management. That's what it's about. It's a, that's why we have civilian labor camps run by the Department of Army on American soil. More and more and more of them every year. Halliburton, what, last year got $385 million contract to build some more of them on American soil.
Yeah, January of 06. Yeah, I read that.
Yep.
I've also heard, though, in my research, that a lot of these civilian detention camps are actually underground now.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me. Because, you know, one of the things that scares me right now is the American people, once again, through their miseducations, were never told that in what was called the Act of 1933, it's called the Act of March 9th of 1933, the United States was declared into a state of emergency at the request of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Now, what we don't realize is that state of emergency was never lifted. Any president from 1933 to today could have lifted that state of emergency, but they didn't do so because that state of emergency basically gave incredible amounts of new kinds of power to the office of the president. Hence, since that time, what we have seen is just hundreds and thousands of executive orders. You know, every president in his term issuing 300-400 executive orders. Now we have signing statements. Now we have national security presidential directives. All of these things, like the recent one that Bush signed, which was National Security Presidential Directive number 51, which basically gave him dictatorial powers in the United States.
Oh, yeah, I covered that on my show already.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, all he's got to do is say, up, state of emergency, martial law. Everything shuts down. Constitution gets booted into the shredder, right? But the problem, people, is we're already in a national declared state of emergency, and we have been for 75 years.
Yeah, and you know what? I had Jim Fetzer on my show before. He's been a hero of mine in this 9/11 truth movement, but I just heard him recently on the Michael Hersock show over on RBN, and he stated that Franklin Roosevelt was clearly one of the greatest presidents of all time. Well, now I have his sound file of what he said posted on my site to expose him that he's buying into this BS.
Well, you know, this is one of the terrible problems that I have always said in my articles. The problem with this movement is people learn a little bit about something, and then they pick a regional issue. For instance, there's a lot of wonderful watchdogs in the state of Arizona, but their sites are only dedicated to the illegal immigration issue and nothing else. You know, it takes so much time and so much effort to study the big picture. You know, the American people have not been trained or acclimated to go digging around in the laws that came out in 1933. But if you want to understand globalism and the history of globalism, you know, in this country, I mean, you can go back as far as you want to go. You can begin with the birth of this nation. You know, there were problems back then, too, specifically with the Freemason membership of the Founding Fathers. But in earnest, you have to look at 1913 with the raising of the illegal raising of the Federal Reserve. And then you look at 1930, you're looking at World War I era. Then you look at the act of March 9th of 1933, when America was declared into a state of emergency, that emergency allowed all of this stuff to undermine the Constitution in the form of quote-unquote war powers and emergency powers. And so here we are today. The Constitution, and I hate to say this to your listeners, but the Constitution is dead. It's dead. And the reason why is because anything that the president wants to do, anything that the president wants to do, is automatically approved and confirmed. This is also language coming out of the act of March 9th of 1933. And it can be done due to these emergency powers, and it can be done through executive orders, signing statements, presidential directives. So basically, you know, anything that they want to accomplish can be accomplished with no congressional oversight. I recently wrote an article that said, is Congress being, I can't remember the title of the article now, basically is the powers of Congress ending? Well, of course they've ended. If you've got executive orders, presidential directives, and signing statements, what do you need a Congress for? What do you need them for?
Yeah, I remember I've known about that Emergency War Powers Act for 11 years now. I used to listen to, I think his name was Dr. Gene Schroeder. He used to be on Shortwave. He used to talk about that.
That's the Trading with the Enemies Act. It's also called the Emergency or the War Powers Act. Now, what that act said basically was that, and I think that act actually was given birth in 1917, if memory serves me. And basically what it said is, you know, if you're caught doing business with the enemy, you know, you're a bad guy, right? Well, in the act of March 9th of 33, that 1917 War Powers Act, or Trading with the Enemies Act, was amended. And it was amended to include all persons within the United States of America. So basically what happened in 1933 is that all people in the United States of America became potentially declared enemies of the government. Now, what happened? What does that mean? Well, that means, number one, prior to 1933, we used to have what was called a loyal freehold title to our land that we bought and paid for. In other words, it was ours. You can't take it. It gets passed on, you know, down through our generations. It's our land, and it cannot be taken. When we became declared enemies of the state through the act of March 9th of 33, declared enemies of the government, pardon me, one of the issues that happens when you become a declared enemy within your own nation is that then you have to have, for instance, licenses. Licenses are then required for you to act. Well, look at the licenses we have to have now. We have to have driver's licenses. We have to have licenses for practically any career that we do. Licenses, certifications, continuing education, blah, 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 blah.
And we could thank Franklin Roosevelt for most of this, right?
Which president was he?
Oh, Harry Truman?
No. 1933. He had just taken office.
Eisenhower?
No. I can't think of it now right now. 19. Oh, for heaven's sake.
Herbert Hoover?
No. Hang on, and let me see if I can pull it up real quick here.
Yeah, I'm not that good at history, really, so I'm not sure.
I just can't pull up his name. Wilson.
Oh, Woodrow Wilson.
No, yeah, I think I'm still checking. I want to make sure about that one. Yeah, he was inaugurated just literally days later, the Federal Reserve came to him and said, we want you to declare a state of emergency. But, you know, it's just the same ongoing. You have to understand that politics is a game. Politics has always been run by elites. Always, always, always. And this is global history, because he who has the money makes the rules. He who has the money has the army to enforce the rules. And this is the same thing. I have always said that the greatest tragedy of human history is that people continue to allow this minute group of people throughout all history to control everything, because their personal histories are histories of bloodbaths over and over and over again upon the common man. Their histories of the elite are to rob mankind of his riches through taxation, through all other means of military abuses, and then things go into relative peace for a while, and what happens is that the common man forgets the atrocities and the brutality, and the common man and the common man's communities that they actually build start to regain themselves. They start to gain some wealth. They start to have some things. They start to perhaps have some local power, and then boom, once again, here come the elites, because as soon as mankind gets something, they want it. They want it again and again and again. And it's simply, it's the history of the world. And people just don't get it, that we should never allow elites to rule, because they can't do it. They just cannot do it. They have proven their brutality in every nation of the world over and over and over again. And it's just a very, very pathetic and very sad state of human affairs. But we continue to allow it. You know, we keep, it's really funny, the whole current presidential, upcoming presidential election, to me is laughable. You know, we sit up there and we watch all of these people, blah, 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 lies, pouring out of their mouths. They never address the real issues.
There aren't any elections anymore. That's just a show for the world.
Well, it's just ridiculous. And instead of, you know, gosh, who's it going to be? Is it going to be Obama? Is it going to be Hillary? Is it going to be Giuliani? Is it going to be blah, blah, blah? Even Ron Paul, when the real issue is the American people ought to be screaming against the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg groups, because they are the ones who are running this country.
There's so many people out there supporting Ron Paul. Darren warned me about what he's involved in.
Well, let me tell you what I think about Ron Paul. I think that Ron Paul knows what's going on. I think he's far more honest than any of the other ones. So I think the other ones are pathological liars. I think they're nutcases. But you know, Ron Paul has supported the trade agreements, so on and so forth, with China, which, you know, I don't agree with. But my beef with Ron Paul is this: Ron Paul, I think, is a nice man. I think that he tells the truth as he knows it and perceives it, just as we all do. But Ron Paul, there's no way on God's green earth that Ron Paul, in his gentle demeanor, is going to fight the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Central Banking System, the Bilderbergers. It's not going to happen. You know, we need a pit bull in our movement. You know, if he's even going to attempt to run for president, we need a pit bull. Well, it isn't going to happen. That's my fear.
Yeah, somebody like Jesse Ventura, who's the governor, I believe, still in Minnesota.
Well, you know, we need somebody with a mouth so big and so loud and so demanding and commanding that they simply cannot be ignored. You know, the reason that Ron Paul is ignored is because you can barely hear him when he's interviewed to begin with. You know, he's not, I think that he's a good man. I don't agree with everything that he has done politically. I think that he has far, far more integrity than the other communists who were running for office. But, you know, Ron Paul, in my opinion, is not what America needs. He's the best of what we apparently have, but we need, I don't know what we need. Honest to God, what we need is for the American people, 300 million strong, to remove a whole lot of people from power.
Yeah, I think the elections are already rigged for the future. I think that the people in charge are going to put in there who they want, that our voices aren't heard anymore.
Well, the people in charge are the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations in this country, and, of course, the central bankers of Europe, and whoever they want is who will run this nation. That is a fact. And you know, if there's some type of a, you know, runaway miracle for someone like Ron Paul, God knows what his future will hold. You know, people who fight the people at the top tend not to make it. Yeah, you know, you look at Kennedy, who was going to end the Federal Reserve. That was his intention. And, you know, it's just... but, you know, once again, you know, from the world's point of view, not just America's point of view, because this movement is going to affect the entire world. And until the world is in earnest, number one, knowledgeable, and number two, ready to end this garbage, by removing from power the people who have been in power for a very, very long time, and in the shadows, then we get what we get. And we're losing everything because, like I said before, you know, the shotguns that we're allowed to have very, very precariously at this point in history aren't going to fight what's out there. It's not going to work. It's not going to fight a pandemic. It's not going to fight enforced vaccinations. It's not going to fight a global stock market crash. It's not going to fight dragged hurricanes and tsunamis and so on and so forth.
Have you seen that sound file on my Chris Gerner Archives page is about John Moore, about talking about these government agencies that have already relocated out to Denver because they know that some tsunami is going to hit the East Coast?
Yeah, I just read that. Well, you know, Mr. Chertoff and his gut feeling. I have a gut feeling, too. I have a gut feeling that Mr. Chertoff's gut feeling is right on the money.
Well, Chertoff was in New York City a couple weeks ago warning the residents in New York to prepare for a hurricane there.
Well, you know, I have always said, keep your eye on America's elite. Keep your eye on the exodus, either out of the country or the exodus from, you know, their home territories. Now, it wouldn't surprise me for something to happen in Washington, D.C. I mean, if they're going to collapse the American government, you know, I guess they're going to have to collapse Washington, D.C. You know, Congress, in my opinion, is nothing but a... It's like a token... it's kind of like voting. it's a token tradition at this point. Congress is powerless. You know, many, many people are simply sellouts to the money. We know this, and to their lobbying friends and big pharma and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, as I have said, Congress has no meaning when you have executive orders, signing statements, and presidential directives. They have no, it's purposeless. And once martial law is declared, Congress cannot touch, cannot address the state of martial law or what happens under martial law for a minimum of 6 months, right? And what happened, and you know, if martial law is declared, I think you can just about guarantee that it will be redeclared after 6 months. Because once martial law is implemented and paramilitary systems take over control in the United States, I think that you can assume then that the SPP and the NAU will fall into place and into power in earnest. I think that you will see the total ending of the dollar, and I think that you will see the new regional currency take shape. I mean, you will see America come under, in earnest, its new governing authorities. And, of course, those authorities are already set up through all of these, you know, regional councils all over the United States. Nixon set into place the regional governing capitals. I think there's 10 of them in the United States, you know, back in, what, 1972? And so, you know, the infrastructures for the global government have been set into place for a long time. And, you know, now we've got all of these regional governing powers, and, you know, we don't even know who these people are. Who are our regional governors? We don't know, because they're appointed to power and because they don't tell us on mass media, just like they've never told us about Agenda 21, just like they've never talked about the actual weather modification legislation that exists on the books. You know, the American people don't know. They haven't been told. You know, I think everyone in America realizes, senses in their souls that something's terribly wrong. But, you know, as American people are now complete and total screen addicts via their computers and their televisions, you know, you can't get a human being in this country to sit down and read, you know, what the watchdogs have read over the last 25 years. You know, it just can't be done anymore.
That reminds me, I was trying to wake up my aunt's friend up in Wisconsin to the realization of weather modification. He said it's one of the most ridiculous things he's ever heard. He says that whatever the government does in secret, they don't put it in, you know, congressional laws and U.S. code and all that. What do you say to folks like that?
You're an ignoramus. Read.
I've had Dr. Bill Deagle on my show. He says what you say to people like that is that they're already dead.
They're already slaves.
I agree.
And they're, what's scary is, I go back, I think that the goal, I think the primary initial mission of the success of global governance is massive depopulation.
I agree.
Now, you know, now in this country, I think that, you know, for instance, school lockdown policies, isn't that something? Every school in the United States has school lockdown policies. Now, why would they do that? I'll tell you why. Because I think that, quote unquote, when the pandemic strikes, and I think it's going to, I think that a whole lot of people are going to be, and I don't know how. It could be atmospherically. It could be through bottled water. God knows. God only knows. But I think that a whole lot of people are going to get sick real fast. And I think that there will be an attempt to preserve younger people. I think that the older ones, who, of course, are the ones who understand constitutional government, they have at least a recognition of what freedom used to be in the United States. I think these are the people that are the targets, at least in this country. I think that also people who have a belief in the Christian religion are targets, because the reason Christianity is targeted is because Christianity believes in unalienable rights, which means that, which of course is the foundation for the American form of government. Now children over the last two generations have not been taught the American form of government. They've been taught globalism, right? And so they're clueless. They're absolutely clueless. They have no idea what the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, they have no dreaming idea of what that means.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they have been de-Christianized, very purposefully de-Christianized, because of this sense of unalienable rights. This is why the Christian religion has become, you know, the religion of radicals and dissidents and bad guys, basically.
Back to that school lockdown policy thing. I don't necessarily think Alex Jones is on our side, but he has put out a lot of good information. And on one of my prior shows, he states in an article that during martial law, they can usher your children away to secret locations if they declare martial law.
Yeah, you know, let me say something about Alex Jones. I know that, you know, I know people who do not like Alex Jones. I don't know him. He rarely publishes me, which I have never really understood. He's never asked to interview me, which has always kind of surprised me.
There's a lot of guests of mine that he hasn't interviewed either, and I'm quite surprised he hasn't.
But, you know, I appreciate what Alex Jones has done. He's got very, very good information on his website. You know, there are a lot of people who question him because he has attained some power as a government watchdog. You know, he was on CNN, and, you know, there are a lot of people that question his ability to do that. You know, how did he get into the Bilderberg group and, the Bohemian Grove meetings and so on and so forth. But, you know, I have respect for him. I don't know everything there is to know about him. But
yeah, I still listen to his shows. I'm always open-minded.
Me too. Oh, me too. No, I appreciate Alex Jones. I appreciate everything that he has done on behalf of the American people. You know, I was thinking when we were talking about, you know, we need a pit bull. I was thinking we need someone on the level of an Alex Jones who is willing to go out there and scream bloody murder and throw fits and so on and so forth. Because I think that's the type of person that is needed to draw the attention. You know, I'm not saying Alex Jones should run for president, but a personality type on that note.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, we need a really, really noisy and effective person. It bothers me to no end that with the endless amount, in spite of the fact that, you know, Hollywood and its money, and it's now, you know, obviously it's political power, specifically, you know, concerning environmentalism, so on and so forth, it has always surprised me that no one of note and fame and great wealth who could command public attention has come forth on the, you know, for the rights of the American people and the constitutional government, but by gum, there hasn't been anyone. It's just mind-boggling to me. It's mind-boggling.
I know, it's just incredible. Look, we're up against the clock again. We've gone an hour over my time tonight, but I've really enjoyed having you on my show tonight.
Oh, I loved being with you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, did you want to give out any pertinent information, like your email or anything?
Well, you know, you can, if people will just Google search my name, Nancy Levant, they will find me all over. I publish in many, many, many places. You can always find my works on newswithviews.com. I'm all over the place. I'm very, very easy to find.
Yeah, and if you folks go out there, go into my archives after I get it posted on my site, you can listen to the bio again, and that gives all the places where you can find her information and that. So I really appreciate you being on board, and I'll have you back sometime, Nancy.
I would love to be back, Sheldon. Thank you so much.
All right, you have a good night, Nancy.
You too.
Yeah, good night. Okay, folks, that's been Nancy Levon up in Iron Mountain, Michigan. We went about an hour over our time tonight, even though I'm not necessarily limited to how long my show has to be. But anyway, it was worth having her on board to elaborate on the Agenda 21 thing, which I'm gradually trying to get into, because this has been going on for a long time, and we need to wake up as to the reality of it. So it was a great pleasure having her on board, and this has been Show 46. It's 11 o'clock here in the Pacific time zone. We're live Saturday evening. I wanted to thank you folks for being on board. I'm going to be away from the studio for about a week and a half, so if you'll tune back on, I believe, Wednesday the 25th, we'll do another live show. Just to wrap it up here in a nutshell, me and Bob have decided to discontinue live broadcasts of The Light of Day effective August 1st. We'll be doing pre-recorded shows. Me and Bob will probably do one show a month then, and we'll do that when we decide that there's enough breaking news stories that we need to cover or whatever. 90 degrees here in the Sonora Desert right now. And our dew point is, we have a high dew point, 59 degrees. You see, the monsoon is officially declared here in the desert when the dew point is 54 degrees or above for three consecutive days. And I can assure you, we can feel the dew point here now. I've had to turn the air conditioner down to 70 degrees at night to sleep comfortably. Normally, I have it set at like 72 or 73. So now I sleep comfortably at with the AC set at 70. So I don't know who's going to be the guest on the next show, but it might be Janet Phelan, who talks about the water as a weapon of war. So wanted to thank you folks for tuning in, and this show will be up in the archives hopefully in about an hour, maybe even within an hour. I'm usually pretty fast at getting that posted on my archives page, as I learn webmastering, and I learn a very specific thing with webmastering. I do it at lightning speed. I'm a Gemini, and as I catch on, boy, I specialize in what I do, I can assure you of that. So we're going to play some music here after the closer music, because I want to commemorate the fact that internet shows have been able to play copyrighted music in the past, because starting tomorrow, thousands of internet broadcasters will no longer exist. There'll still be some out there, but as soon as the excessive fines start hitting those people, they'll go under the table, so to speak. So I want to thank you folks for joining me. Good night.